Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Note the first word from Jesus in our gospel is the word today. Today, not tomorrow, not the next, but today. This word resonated with me, and it fits with our calling of today's time, our calling to discipleship and evangelization. Now, our bishop has been educating us on being intentional disciples, and you'll be hearing more of that over the coming years. He wants us to be energized disciples who go out and proclaim the word of God and to bring people to Christ. The statistics show that our church's active members are decreasing at alarming rates. So his push to energize us is not a moment too late. We can see in our world the results of a church slacking and standing up for what is right and not responding with the truth. We have been what I call fat and happy in our faith, letting others do the work we were called to do at our baptism. We will baptize priest, prophet, and king. When was the last time you've thought about your role in either of these callings? Well, folks, now's the time. So there's a little story that talks about standing up for your faith and being a Christian and a disciple. It's a story of a Roman soldier who stood up for Christ and was martyred for his stand. A little background for this saint. In New Orleans, there's a rather curious statue at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church near the doorway. It's a holy saint, a Roman soldier who was martyred by the Emperor Diocletian around the year 300 AD. He is called Saint Expedite, and many people invoke him for a quick resolution to problems. The legend of how the statue got there goes like this. Sometime around 1921, Catholic nuns at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church on Rampart Street received a crate marked Expedite, which may or may not have been intended to indicate it was a rush order. Inside was an unidentified statue of a Roman soldier, helmetless and swordless. In one hand he held a palm branch, a symbol of martyrdom. In the other was a cross marked hodie. It's a Latin word meaning today. The nuns declared him to be Saint Expedite, and installed him in a church near the entrance where he has for years drawn prayers from legions of people seeking rapid intervention. The truth is, he was a man who heard the word of God proclaimed in the midst of a pagan world, and he made up his mind right then to convert to Jesus Christ. The evil one, the minute Expedite made his mind up to act for Christ, whispered in his ear, "Not now, do that tomorrow." The holy saint rejected Satan and didn't let another minute pass until he had moved in the direction of Christ. That is the reason he holds up triumphantly the cross with the word Hodi, or today. What will be written on your cross? Our first reading begins with a strong statement about what we are called to do. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you." But do you gird your loins? That means being prepared and strengthened for what is to come. Do you stand up and tell them all that I command you? This day, God calls you to be strong and stand up for your faith. So what does a disciple, being a disciple, really means to us? It means for us to accept and assist in the spreading of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. First, we have to accept that we truly believe, and then we have to act in the spreading of that belief. I ask, are we not spreading Christ's teachings because we ourselves do not believe? Discipleship means total dedication. Now, perhaps you heard this story of a farmer's chicken who proposed to the cow that they make the farmer's breakfast. The cow cheerfully responded, "I'm in. What will we give him?" The chicken replied, "I'll supply the eggs and you supply the meat." Now the cow's countenance dimmed as she realized the ramifications of the initial invitation. She sadly replied to the chicken, "For you that's devotion, but for me it means total sacrifice." And she walked away. Discipleship takes total sacrifice. And there's more to being a disciple than believing in yourself. You have to believe in others as well. Here's a story that relates to that. A writer, Katie McCabe, described her mentor, Charles Savage, as a man who changed a room simply by walking into it. He believed so completely in his many students and colleagues that they had no choice but to believe in themselves. Inspired, encouraged, and challenged by her mentor, McCabe wrote that even though it was 15 years later, everything she did was an attempt to find the person he saw in her. So the point here is, open your eyes. Look for a person who needs a little bit of time, a little friendship, and a little faith. Look for someone to whom you can give the gift of being a mentor or a supportive friend, and take that time to spread your faith. Is there a person in your life who would be encouraged if you let them know that you believe in them? It's easy to get self-consumed and run over by our own to-do list. And it's easy to make excuses if we feel we aren't well-versed enough in our spiritual matters to mentor others. Start your discipleship by educating yourself and then by giving hope to another. All of us are capable of that. Our second reading shows how we're to approach discipleship. St. Paul says, "Strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, but I shall show you a still more excellent way." He says, "If I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith so as to move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own And if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. Everything we do for Christ, we have to do with great love. Discipleship is love, spreading love with love. Mother Teresa once said, not all of us could do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And you may be asking, what does this have to do with me? Why am I being called to discipleship? Look around, read the news. There's theft, drug abuse, corruption, sexual abuse in the church, sex trafficking, murder, hatred, racial tension, and on and on and on. If you don't think it's time for the church to rise up, then you've got your head in the sand somewhere. Now, the one evil thing I didn't mention here, and I want to spend a little bit of time on, is the sin, the evil of abortion. There's a story that should stir your soul to do something. It's the latest move in New York to kill unborn babies up to the time of birth. And even some states considering killing the baby after it's born because of the mother's wishes. Now, I know some of you would rather not discuss this topic, but it has to be said. Somewhere around 53 to 63 million babies have been lost to the sin of abortion. But the numbers don't matter. One is too many. When is enough enough? Now, the good news in this, and yes, there is good news, the numbers of abortions have been going down each year. And also, there are states that are fighting hard to ban all types of abortion, and we need to stand with them. Now, abortion is just one obvious example of the church, you and me, not standing up and speaking the truth when it is needed the most. It's an example of evil trying to prevail over innocent victims. We as a church have laid back and slacked off, saying, not today. I'm busy. Maybe tomorrow I'll stand firm, but tomorrow may be too late. We need to stand firm and not only request our church leadership to stand firm on these atrocities, but stand behind our leaders, civil and church, when they do make a stand for faith. Brothers and sisters, today is the day to commit ourselves to our baptismal promises. Commit ourselves to believing in what we preach and dedicating ourselves to learning in depth our Catholic faith. We can't expect someone to believe what we have to say if we don't believe it ourselves. And remember, Jeremiah and Jesus showed us in today's readings, we're not going to be accepted in our hometown. That's okay. Don't stop, let that stop you in your discipleship. Act today. So you may ask, Deacon, what am I supposed to do? I can't answer that. That's a personal conversation you and God need to have. But I ask you, is the evil one whispering in your ear right now? Is he saying, don't listen to him? Not now. Do that tomorrow. St. Expedite, pray for us.